It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
The world is a vampire.
The Raven Effect, with pro wrestling superstar Raven.
A cornucopia of stupidity masquerading as a podcast.
Critics have hailed it as everything from,
huh? Who's this Raven jerk?
And, if you want clever discourse, nonsensical banter, and incessant rambling, well, this is the show for you. Ladies, gentlemen, idiots, floozies, and reprobates, this is Raven.
Me, 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 me. Can I get a mic check? Mic check.
Christ.
All right, let's start the show. Hold on. Hello and welcome. It's the Raven Effect Podcast with your host. Who is the host of this show anyway? Oh, that's right. I am. I'm Raven. I'm your host. I'm the hostess with the leastest. And actually, I'm the hostess Twinkie. And Rich Puccini, the eenie, one half of the eenie meanies. He's waving at the camera, but nobody can see him because there's no Patreon. There's only people that see the camera have Patreon, and most of you people listening to this show don't have Patreon, so he's wasting his time. Well, I guess for the people that can't see him, it's not a waste of time, although it could be a waste of energy. It's a lot of work to wave. Waving's tough. Today we're going to talk about a lot of things, and probably none of them will make any sense.
Nope.
So it's not going to be a regular episode, basically.
That's typical for us.
That's all you can ever ask for, really. Man, is reliability and what's the word you're looking for?
Punctuality.
No, when you're homonyms. No, when you're dependable, when you have the same game every day, where you're
Johnny on the spot.
No, Johnny on the spot. When you're like every day, you're like if you come in and you do the same job every day, you do something that's
punctuality.
No, it's not punctuality. You already tried that.
Machine-like. We're machine-like.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for.
It's like an assembly line of nonsense.
That's not what I'm looking for, though.
Okay.
Workmanship.
No, that's not it either.
Craftsmanship.
No.
We're like the lunch pail workers punching in and doing our job and.
Right? No, it's just one word.
Working
it's one
in
word.
A coal mine.
It's one word at
So it's not dependable.
No, I already know. It's depends wearing. No, it's not that.
Trustworthy. Always there. We carry the load.
That's not
steadfast.
It
We're steadfast.
I like it.
We're always there.
That's good.
Satisfactory.
We're more stead slow, if anything.
Stead slow. Okay. Unsteady? Would we be unsteady?
No, we're pretty.
How about this? How about this? We are the Allegiant hosts.
We're Allegiant
of this program. Allegiant means faithful.
Hmm. Like the Pledge of Allegiance?
No, that's not it. No.
Allegiance of superheroes.
Hold on. Could we be homogenous and variable?
No. Durable. It's not durable. It's not constant. Dependable. No, not dependable. It's
dogged. devoted.
No, not ritualistic. Not murderous.
Impervious. No.
No.
Persistent?
Congenital? Congenital? No, that's not it.
No.
We're going to go through all the words in the dictionary today.
Yeah, we are.
Reliable.
That's what we were looking for, is reliable. It took us that long.
It's not what we're looking for, but I can't think of the word. It's like reliable, dependable, workmanlike, craftsmanlike. Not like craftsman tools, though. Because, we are tools, but that's beside
the point. We're like the yeoman of the podcasting world.
Yo, man.
I looked up words like reliable, and I don't think I see. Are we unwavering?
No, we wave. Rich already waved in the opening. I already talked about that.
Staunch. What about staunch?
Impeccable?
No, we're not impeccable. We peck.
We tried not steadfast. That didn't work.
No. That's not it.
Reputable.
You say we're not dependable.
No, we are dependable. Well, we're
staunch. We are staunch and steady. We're always here. Staunch? Yeah, I like staunch.
If you do a good – if you can count on them to do a good job all the time, every time.
Dodgy. No, that's the opposite.
Yeah,
that's the opposite.
Rogering. We got a good rogering.
Infallible.
Lioness.
What are we? Like the Pope?
I don't know. We'll come back to it. We'll table this conversation. We've already wasted enough time on it.
The Pope of the Name podcast. Yes, we have, haven't we? Raven, so you didn't see Dark Side of the Ring. Feeny and I were talking about that. You didn't see it?
No, but I saw the Dark Side of the Moon with Pink Floyd.
You did, yep.
Actually, I saw it with Pink Freud. It was Sigmund Freud, and he was wearing a pink shirt.
Jesus. If you haven't seen it, how much do you know of the Owen Hart story?
Well, let's see. Owen Hart was born to some guy named Stu Hart.
Stu, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was Owen Money. So that's why they called him Owen.
Yeah.
No, that's not it. And then he had an older brother. He had like 100 older brothers.
Many cats, too.
And he had a sad, unfortunate death.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much a good can.
For the listeners, if you haven't seen Dark Side of the Ring yet, Feeny and I were discussing when you were looking for your light there. Yikes. Over on Patreon, we were talking about the clip that they used because Martha Hart actually has the clip that Owen fell from, and she showed it. And when if you've never seen it, it literally it was like a gasp out loud moment. Like
Why did she show it?
She has it. She has it.
The clip. It's like in her box of legal stuff.
Why did she show him dying? Is she showing him dying?
No. She showed the clip.
The clip,
like
that
the
held
actual
him,
clip. The hook.
Oh, they clipped the video clip.
No. The clip. Like
I can't believe she's showing the video clip of him dying.
That's
like a snuff film.
The one that released him. That was holding him, and it was only built to hold 6 pounds of pressure, which is
it basically did the opposite of what it's supposed to. It was like a sailboat clip where like it's meant for the I don't know any shit about sailing, but I guess the mast.
They should have used the video clip.
Should have used anything other than
what video clip would have worked better than this than the that clip.
Would you ever have been lowered from the ceiling? I mean, before that happened.
I've rappelled in the Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to be honest, though, that it'd be terrifying. Like when DDP told me that Sting was taking him from when DDP was laying on the ground and Sting hooked him on the back and he had to come up from the ground, facing the ground, you know, not seeing where he's going, looking down. Mm-hmm. That had to be terrifying.
Yeah. That looks pretty wild.
I read somewhere that not too long after the whole Owen Hart thing, when, because Sting would do the thing where he comes down from the rafters, I guess like he said he didn't want to do it anymore. And when they pushed him to finally do it, apparently he called Brett and was, hey, is this cool?
Mm.
And it's fine or whatever. But honestly, it was like the episode of this week's Dark Side of the Ring, or at this point, last week's Dark Side of the Ring. Like, if you haven't seen it, go through it. And when they show that, when they show the part of the documentary where she pulls that hook out of the box with all the legal stuff. Mm-hmm. Literally, if you don't gasp out loud, it's
insane. It's like you're at a campfire and the guy says, telling the horror story at night, and he says, and then he pulled out the hook on his hand, and she broke out the hook.
Yeah, pretty much.
To me, the craziest part was when Jim Ross was on the documentary, and he goes, you know, he talks to them backstage to Kevin Dunn, and he goes, "Hey, Kevin, you keep telling me to update the people, but no one's giving me an update. I don't know what what is going on." And Kevin Dunn goes, "He's dead, and we're coming back to you in 10, 9.
Wow.
and they show the clip of Jim coming back and his and Jerry's reaction, and it's like,
I mean, the guy just died right there, right in front of them. You know?
And supposedly, Owen didn't even want to like doing it, didn't want to do it either or something.
No, right? He didn't. Yeah. He didn't. And, you know, one of the stories from, you know, I think it was Jimmy Corderas was saying that, you know, he thought he heard somebody screaming on the way down. And like what everybody's saying is that he was screaming on the way down, look out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? You're falling to your death and you're worried about the referee or whoever. Yeah, look out.
He brushed like, him, too. Another thing is that, and this wasn't on the documentary, but I've read it before, and I think it was in Martha Hart's book as well, is that he was supposed to come down from the top with Max Mini strapped to him. Like as a mini blue blazer. So there would have been two. There would have been two coming down, two deaths, you know.
So, but he landed in the ring, right?
Yeah, over towards the corner.
JR said he thinks he either hit the turnbuckle or the ring post.
Yeah.
Which
would he have lived if he hit the mat?
I don't know. 90 feet straight down.
Now, how did, when he hit, like, I guess that's the part I never really, you know, because you don't see it or whatever. So you never really think about it. But when he hit, was like his body all contorted? Like, did he pop out? You know, did he like his head smash open?
I heard he bounced up from the mat like significant. Like,
who was in the ring when this happened? Anybody?
Corderas.
Yeah.
Just Corderas?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Maybe a ring announcer.
Oh
on the
my
other
god!
Side.
That must have been. He must have been. He brushed him
on the way down, like his leg or whatever hit Corderas, like literally, like brushed his shoulder. And Corderas says he was holding the top rope, so he was cleaning, you know, doing whatever. And that when Owen came down, the rope, and he didn't even realize what was happening, the top rope like went down, like if you were going to push down on the top rope, you know, the force that takes, and then the ring, and then the rope popped back up to the point where his hand was like, boom, like this. And he's like, what the hell? And you know, the force that takes to push down the, you know, top rope to have it pop back up like that, you know? So imagine being in the ring.
And I mean, I was young at the time. I think I was 17 or something like that. And I remember walking past the TV. I was going out and seeing the crowd shot. You know how they never panned the ring when he was in there, and going, well, you know, what's going on? And my parents being like, yeah, they said Owen Hart fell. And I'm like, you know, I didn't know if it was a real thing.
How did your parents know that he fell?
They announced it on the show. They came back from a video package, and JR was saying, like, hey, you know, this isn't a part of the show. We've actually had a real accident here. Owen Hart was supposed to make an entrance from the rafters, and he fell, and we don't know what happened yet, but we'll keep you updated. And then they just panned the crowd until the medical personnel, you know, took
So the question out. The question is would you have ran the show? Would you have continued with the show?
No. I asked friends of mine that were watching it last night or whatever. I said, can you think of any other sport or entertainment, like circus, anything?
Yeah, auto racing.
Don't
keep driving if somebody dies?
Yeah, they do.
Like, if someone dies in the middle of a race, they finish it.
Yeah. Yeah,
they finish.
Because I can
race,
only think
they?
Of, like, when Dale Earnhardt died, the race was over, you know, so.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about this. There have been at least one or two occasions where an umpire at a baseball game is literally dropped dead. Like, in Baltimore, it happened. An umpire had a heart attack, dropped dead on the field before the game. They didn't get the third base ump to come and ump home plate that night. They called the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's, I don't know how, and it's
different in the middle of the event, though. I'm not saying I would have. I'm just saying, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, I know. No. But his blood was on the mat.
Yeah, two boards in the corner broke where he hit. Wouldn't want to go over there, but you couldn't go over there, you know? And I mean, what is the point of continuing it other than financial?
No, not just the financial. No, I'm saying, but do you continue for the sake of the fan? Like, just so the fans don't, you know, go bananas and riot, supposedly, you know? Or I'm just saying, like, what are the odds that fans go start chanting bullshit and fraud if you cancel the show? You know what I mean?
I think if they saw the guy
especially with it being pro wrestling.
But I think,
you know. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Putting myself in those shoes in the crowd, if I saw that and they were like, listen, folks, we got to end the show, I think I would understand, you know? But just imagining seeing that, I would absolutely believe it because it would be so out of the norm. Yeah. But one thing is.
Was this music playing?
They had his video package going.
Yeah, a video package was going on. So they pushed him out to get ready to descend as the video was on. And that's when the clip opened up and he fell. So the arena was dark. The video was playing and he just, and then when the lights came on, he was in the
room. Nobody saw him land.
I'm sure a couple people saw it out of the corner of their eye.
Yeah, well, out of 15,000 people, so a couple people see him. But I'm saying, like and did people see him laying in the ring dead?
Yeah, everybody saw that. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, I don't know.
But not people on, you couldn't see it on TV. Like I said, they panned the thing. But one thing is they announced it towards the end of the card. Jim Ross announced to the fans at home, hey, Owen Hart's passed away. Yeah. But they never announced it to the live crowd. So the live crowd's reacting like it's a regular show going on and chanting and cursing.
Well, what do they think happened?
They probably say, who knows?
Yeah, maybe they probably.
Feeney, imagine you're there with your friends and you say, hey, I'm going to run and get a beer or whatever. And you come back.
No, wait, hold on. Before you say that, what did the people think? So they come, nobody sees him land. Then they come to and he's laying in the ring. Did they put him on a stretcher or what did they do?
They came in the ring and worked on him and then they took him out on the stretcher and people, you could hear them like give him the applause, like when someone's hurt and gets taken out. And then they never mentioned it to the live crowd again. So I guess if I was there, I would think, oh man, he might be seriously hurt. But if something further happened, they probably would have told us.
In the show was it? In the middle?
Before the third or second match. And it was 1999, so it's not like you could be on your phone in the crowd going, oh, let me look on Twitter and see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're just kind of sitting there. You don't know.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
no matter how you look at it, it's a tough decision. I'm not, and I'm not the biggest Vince fan, as everybody knows. But I'm not saying I don't think it was an easy decision. You know,
here's what I'm getting at. If you were a fan, Feeney, you're there and you're at the show and you go, oh, I'm going to go get a soda or go get a beer. And you come back and you missed all of it. But you see that there's this giant blood splotch on the side of it.
How big?
It was noticeable. It was.
OK, but to the people in TV land, but to the people at the arena, probably wasn't noticeable.
No, I depends on what angle. There's no way you didn't see that blood there.
Yeah.
No way.
Because they took a picture from where he fell, and you could see straight down to the ring, and you could see the blood in the corner. So, I mean, certain vantage points from the arena, I'm sure people could see it and make it out.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but you wouldn't know what it was. If you're a fan, you're not going to go, oh, look, there's a big blood splotch in the corner. If it's just sitting in there, something in the corner, you're not going to go, oh, that's from the guy that just fell and died. Yeah. Are you? I don't know. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's nothing, you hear one side of an argument, there's no argument. There's no discussion.
Right. Well, I think if I saw the guy laying there and knew he fell and then they took him out and the blood was left behind, I would, okay, holy shit, look at that. Like, damn, like he was really hurt, But one of the things that they said was when he hit the ropes, by the time he hit the mat, he had stopped bleeding. So he didn't bleed out or anything like that. Like it was blood from hitting, but he died. He stopped bleeding by the time he was laying there. He was gone. Wow.
Well, he started. When did he start dying? When did he stop dying? Or when did he died on the flight on the ride down?
He was dead when he hit.
I think he was dead in the ring.
Yeah, he was dead in the ring. So by the time they wheeled him out, he was dead.
Oh, I thought you said. I misunderstood what you said. I thought you were saying by the time he hit the ring, I thought you said he was dead. He was done bleeding.
Yeah, he hit the ropes, and that opened up a wound on his side. And then by the time he flipped over or whatever and hit the ring, he had stopped bleeding. So they said
that quick.
Yeah,
I would have to imagine it in that neck quick, broke, right?
Internal injuries and everything, I guess, is what. But yeah,
I'd have to imagine he broken neck, probably like right. I don't know. I've never read the.
It depends on how he hit. I mean, I've read some of the stuff, but I can't remember what the cause was. I'm assuming internal injuries from the fall.
Didn't they say on the Vice?
No.
They didn't say exactly what it was.
No. On Dark Side of the Ring?
No.
But it certainly framed Vince as villainous, to say the least. So, because he was in his class, like at the press conference after, he was very, snippy with the reporters and things like that. So they showed those clips and,
There's, not to be morbid, but I mean, there's all sorts of, articles on YouTube and, like different stories and stuff. But have you ever seen the stuff, like there's a fan who was there who was like sitting near the top of Kemper Arena and they actually got pictures of Owen on the, like walking on the catwalk.
Oh, yeah.
With his stuff. But like that's, man.
Well, there's a clip where if you were watching the American feed, you don't hear or see anything. But the Spanish feed, their mics were left open. So you hear him hit the ring and you hear the Spanish guys go, oh, no. Oh, no, and then we need help in Spanish and stuff like that. So that's, another morbid thing. But.
Wow. I suppose we should mention Shad too. Raven, did you know Shad at all? Shad Gaspard?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I met him once. He seemed like a nice guy.
I don't know that I ever met him. I remember seeing him when I was a fan at an FCW show. But I know a lot of people that knew him in there.
I was in an appearance with him or something kind of thing. I forget what it was, but he seemed like a real nice guy. He seemed very intelligent.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I remember hearing, what didn't he like save somebody from a fire, or like stop a robbery or something a couple months? There was something, right?
Both of those things.
Was it both?
Yeah.
Jeez. And I mean, you think about it too, like saving his son, like telling
him. Yeah, he told the lifeguard to go save my son and push the son towards him. That's awesome. I mean, it's sad that he had to die. It's terribly tragic. But that's a f-ing hero, you know?
Without a doubt.
You know, a lot of friends, like, you know, Byron Saxton, I know, knew him well. And a lot of people over there knew him. And it's just a tough week, man, right?
How long were they in New York?
Huh? A few years.
They were only there a couple of years, right?
Yeah. It wasn't a long run.
Crime Time? Yeah. You mean like Shad? Oh, yeah. They were there and then they got released and then they brought him back, I think.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Actually, the joke was with JTG for a while. Yeah. Like when I was there, the joke was because he hadn't been used in like a year, but somehow all these releases kept coming. Not Shad, but JTG because he was there longer.
JTG's partner.
Yeah. And that was the joke. Like, holy shit, they just released 20 people and somehow JTG survived until they finally released him.
Yeah. There was.
Not that I'm laughing about anybody losing their job, but it was just the.
Well, for anyone that's listening and knows the story and stuff, I did see that Collar and Elbow, the T-shirt company, put a tribute shirt to him on their site, and I believe all the proceeds go to his family.
Oh, that's cool.
So, if you want to buy the shirt and do that,
yeah, give him the address, Feeny.
Let me just make sure. It's collarxelbow.com, I think, but let me make sure.
Man, I'll tell you what. Looking at the video screen of us talking, I have the worst case of resting bitch face. Like, I look so miserable when I'm just sitting there until I'm talking. Then I'm like, but when I'm just standing there, I look like I'm ready to, you know, kill myself. But I'm not. I'm ready to kill other people.
Yeah, it's collar and elbow. collarandelbowbrand.com. So there you go.
And that's for Crime Time shirts or Shad shirts?
Shad tribute shirt and a proceeds.
Shad's an interesting name, Shad.
It is.
It's weird to say. It feels like you're talking with a lisp.
Shad.
Yeah, it sounds like it should be Chad.
Yeah.
I wonder what his first, like, is it actually Shad guy? I wonder if he had, like, something longer.
And his last name sounds French.
Gaspard.
Yeah, it does. I wonder if he was from, he was born in Brooklyn. I was going to say that almost sounds like you think he's Cajun or something, right?
I don't know.
It's not usual that we start out the show with, all the more.
Start out the show. We're 25 minutes in.
Yeah, right. First half.
Yeah. So what's fun? It's starting all doom and gloom. Has there been anything fun this week besides just sitting around at home and doing nothing?
Yeah, I was reading. I was reading the news the other day, and what was I going to say? I got nothing.
Wait. So you read the news?
No,
today?
I was going to say there are three people in this world. Those that are good at math and those that aren't.
Is that something that goes away with age? Because that's another thing that I am not very good at anymore. Like, I used to be able I used to be able to do math problems in my head real quick. And now
I find myself opening up the calculator on my phone more often than I'd like to.
I hate using the calculator. I always try and do it in my head. Then I go to paper. And then eventually I'm like, get the calculator out.
Yeah. Right?
I learned obviously you can trust the calculator. I can't trust myself doing it anymore. So go right to the calculator.
Well, I was doing some math the other day on the coronavirus. And I was like, let me see if I can pull it. I don't feel like pulling it up. Go to worldometer. I'll pull it up. Let me see.
Is it worldometer or worldometer?
I think it's worldometer, but I feel like call it worldometer.
Well, you guys are both in states that are kind of relaxing the restrictions, right?
Yeah, ours is opened up first.
Florida's
open. We won.
Pennsylvania, I read, Feeney, that your governor there has been talking to all the major pro sports organizations to figure out a way to get Pennsylvania open for for sporting events in some form or fashion.
That's the maybe, but he's one of the hard asses about not about really keeping things shut down from what I read and understand. And there's a lot of protests going on and all that stuff. So and my county is the worst county in the state. So we're going to be
that goes without saying.
Oh, I mean, with not even just the coronavirus, just the worst county in the state.
Right.
So. I would imagine that you guys I would imagine NASCAR races at Pocono at some point. Before, you know what I mean? Even if there's no baseball or football or whatever, I'd imagine you get a race at Pocono. That's
the,
sure.
That would
okay,
be the
well,
easiest thing
to do. Let's go back to
the
worldometer.
The worldometer.
Is it aluminium or aluminum? Worldometer or worldometer?
It's worldometer. And so there's 7,786,000,000 people. Get your calculators out, ladies and germs.
Uh-oh.
And there are, let's see, where's the coronavirus? If I got to pull up coronavirus, the worldometer, I guess, is around of normally it's a thing, and they have all the facts. I need the corona facts. Hold on, where are the corona facts? Oh, coronavirus updates. Here it is. Let's get to this. So there's 5 million cases of coronavirus, and there's how many people in the world did I say?
7.8 billion.
7.8 billion into 5 million is how much? What's your final answer, Mr. Feeney?
What was that? 78.8.
Just put 8 billion. 8 billion into 5 million.
1.6.
8 billion goes into 8 billion goes into 5 million 1.6 times. It goes into 0.00 something times.
See that? This is why I need the calculator.
Yeah,
that's what I said. Get your calculators. 8 billion into 5 million divided by 8 billion. That's how you because 8 billion is what 5 million is what percentage of 8 billion. So right. 5 is what percentage of means you divide and multiply.
0.000625.
Right, 0.000625, which means it's 0.00. I mean, you take out the first two zeros because you make it into a percentage. So it's 0.06 percentage of the population has coronavirus. It's not a lot.
You could probably double that based on the amount of people that have not been tested.
I was going to say, some of the numbers are going up in states, but it's like, hey, are they testing more or what's going on here?
Hold on. But if you view by country now, let's look at the USA. They have 1,620,000 cases and 320 million people. So, 1 million goes in 320 million goes into 1.6 goes into 1,000,006. How many can figure that out? 320 million into 1.6 into 1,600,000 or 1.6 million. 1,600,000 you have to do it because you can't put a period in there because then it would be you throw off your math. 320 million into 1,600,000.
Yeah.
How can it be 20%? 20 people, 200 per numbers. Do it with a calculator, would you?
I did.
Okay, let's see. What do you got? How can it 320 million? You did a reverse. 1,600,000 divided by 320 million. Rich is smoking. I'm telling. He's vaping. That's why he's not talking.
That's why I muted it so you don't hear me.
Point zero five.
What is it?
0.05.
So it's 5%.
So half a percent.
Yeah.
That's 5% or is that half a percent?
Half a.
Yeah, you got to have the decimals wrong. Can't be half a percent.
Is it half of 1% or is that 5%? I would think that's half of 1%.
Well, let's see. 10%.
I was also a comm major, so I don't know.
10% would be 32. Would be 300. Would be 3,200,000.
Right.
So yeah. So it's 5%.
5%. Yeah.
So 5% of the population has got it, as opposed to the rest of the world. If you take the whole world, it's only 0.06, something like that. So my math probably is definitely wrong on this, but that's what it sounds like.
Any of those numbers, I think you could double or triple them.
I think.
Yeah, but which way? So many of the deaths were people had pre-existing conditions that they were going to die anyway.
A friend of mine's 33 years old was on tour and got it. I know
that a lot of people like that happen, but mostly they also found that like 80-90% where did I find? I was looking all this up the other day. Like 90% of the cases are people over 80. In fact, the average age of the death of the coronavirus is older than the average age of the death of people.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So I don't know what that means because you read about some people, like this one guy I was reading about today. He was in a coma for 4 weeks. Yeah. And he was all jacked when he started. He's like, now he's like 140 pounds. Oh, man.
So when we look back on this in 5 years or 10 years, are we going to say, man, they really overreacted? Or, you know what I mean? Or are we going to say,
the whole thing is that they underreacted at first. Mm-hmm. This is the expert opinion because I'm an expert, just because I claim I am. I have no credentials. But anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
You're a Mensa member. That's got to count for something.
Not really.
No.
So they underreacted because apparently if they'd have caught it a week earlier, we'd have saved like 20,000 deaths. And if they'd have caught it started the lockdowns 2 weeks earlier, they would have saved like 86% of the deaths.
Yeah.
And if China would have done it, it wouldn't even have left the shores. If they would have jumped on it right away, it wouldn't even have left their shores. Which is probably how they got SARS and MERS stopped so soon,
yep.
You know? So there's a real deal, but it's also, now I think they're pushing it. But here's the thing. I think they should open up everything because people aren't going to go anyway. The people that want to go, like in Georgia, so many people are staying home anyway. So they ought to just open everything and let people do what they want to do and do their own thing. And if people start dying, then people will back off. If they don't start dying, people will gradually join in, you know. But the people already are scared enough on their own that they can handle, you know, that we don't need to be micromanaged so much anymore.
I would agree with you that we're getting to that point. But had we not, like, Feeney, your question, 10 years, are we going to say that we overreacted? Probably. Right. But wouldn't you rather say that we overreacted instead we did nothing? And
we underreacted at first. Underreacted that set the ball in motion.
I agree with you 100%. Interesting, Raven, there being in Georgia. You're saying people are staying home because that was one of the first states to reopen. Like that shit hasn't exploded there.
Nope.
Interesting.
What's open? I mean, everything.
Everything, more or less. I mean, they opened bowling up.
You have to wear a mask.
That's what I want
to
do. Or go to a gym. I want to go to a gym while there's a virus going around. But I'm surprised that there hasn't been a spike.
If your boyfriend was named James, you'd want to go to see a gym.
There was a gym in New Jersey that opened against restrictions, and the first day that they were open, the cops and the troopers and whatnot showed up, and then there was a big protest, and they decided just to let everyone in, and they had a speech at the
end. Was it a hillbilly gym?
Country boy. And so they let everybody in and said, hey, everyone, just stay safe, wear your mask, keep your distance, be smart, and left. And everyone, big round of applause. By the next day, New Jersey had shut off the water there and the sewage backed up, and it gave them the right to close it, you know. And there was
that's bullshit.
Yeah. So they're going to get you. There's businesses in PA and Jersey that are trying to fight, but you're going to lose is basically what's happened so far. There was a bar upstate that tried to open. They, of course, revoked the liquor license and all this stuff. So,
But here's the thing, though, is so many people aren't going to go out anyway. And the people that want to stay safe are going to stay safe. And the people, it's like if you're wearing your mask, if everybody's wearing a mask, it's as safe as you're going to get without killing the economy any worse. You know, I hate to be one of those guys, but, it's – and poor people, man, how do poor people survive? Like, what are they eating? Like, they eating piece of food they're splitting over a week. I mean,
pork and beans, brother, pork and beans.
I'm saying, but how do they even afford that? I'm saying, how can, the one check doesn't last very long, I'm just saying, if you're really poor, you're struggling and you probably have to go to work anyway because you're an essential person,
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the whole thing up and let people and because let's face it, all 50 states at this point are at least partially open. It says apparently.
Do you think we're going to get the spike like 1918, where they open everything up and then come October or whatever, like in Philadelphia, for instance, the parade and all those people got infected like later down the line?
No, they're not gonna have the spike because people are gonna be too scared to go out.
Yeah.
So yeah. And they're gonna wait, and they're gonna be tentative. They're gonna be tentative for when the fall comes, because you know they think it's gonna come back. No. So they'll be more tentative, as and they're already tentative enough. John tentative.
As long as there's no earthquake.
We're worried about earthquakes. Yeah.
No earthquakes.
Or natural disasters.
Yeah. Or avalanche.
No typhoons.
Avalanche. Yeah. Shark.
Avalanche. Golga. Wait. Avalanche.
So wait a minute. Are the bars
That's
open?
A lot of name, isn't it? Avalanche Buzz Tyler.
Are the bars open in Georgia?
Yeah.
And I don't mean the court system. I mean, like, can you go to the bar if you wanted to? Can you just go down the street and get a beer?
Yeah, I guess you can.
Disco was saying on Keeping It 100 with Conan that he was going out this weekend, and he's in Georgia. So,
and where's he going?
He said he was going out to a bar.
He's a lush. But here's the thing, too, is, you know, like, also, the more people get tested, the more people find out if they had it. And let's face it, they're pretty sure now that you have some immunity if you've already had it.
Right.
So if that proves to be true, completely true, first of all, you're going to have people trying to get the virus so they can get over it. And that's going to tell a lot. The more people get tested, you know, the more, but they also have to, like, I don't believe in the testing well enough to take it, right. You know, to make it worthwhile, because so many false positives.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to know that I'm false positive, you know, I don't want to get a false negative, but I guess those are rare.
I'm curious about like the tests that we're using. Cause I know like initially we were offered a test and it was turned down, and then they came up with another test. It's not as accurate and whatever. However, I think the easy thing to do is just not test anybody, and then we won't have any cases. We'll be fine.
Well, how about the president said that?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The president said that he said he's really proud that we have the most cases, because it means we tested the most.
But if we don't test anybody, we wouldn't have any cases at all. Zero. You know, I don't want to dump on him because we don't go put. But when I read that, that was to me one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Honestly.
He said plenty of dumber things.
But that I mean, anybody with have, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I wouldn't have diabetes if I didn't go to the doctor and get my blood drawn. Like,
well, you know what I mean? What the world ometer says.
Stupid. So much candy.
Stupid. Anyway.
You know, economically, I think what sucks is, like Raven was saying, well, we open up and all these people can start to get back to work and stuff. But already there's been so many examples of businesses and chains and stuff shutting down. They're not coming back. There's people who don't have jobs to go back to already.
I don't know. I think the economy is going to come back pretty strong and pretty quick.
I hope so.
Now, you know,
I don't think it's going to be for poor people, though, unfortunately. I think rich people, you know, because the stock market's already doing great compared to, you know, what it was.
Yeah.
I think, but I think for poor people, it's going to be the shits again, you know, and they're going to get f***ed once more.
I'm curious to see what happens with the industry. I don't mean wrestling in particular, but we're all involved in, you know, on a greater whole in show business, right? So, I mean, you have like in
showbiz.
In Boston, for instance, Great Scott is a club that's been there forever. A lot of indie bands would go through there. That closed. There's clubs elsewhere, you know, live music venues that are shutting down.
The Troubadour. The Troubadour in L.A.
So we're not going to – so, Rich, you know, all the bands that no one's ever heard of besides you are going to go out of business?
You know what? So my friend Tony here in Gainesville that runs Fest in Gainesville every year, Big Punk Rock Fest every year in late October. Oh, yeah, he doesn't even know if he's going to be able to run.
That's famous.
What?
Yeah, Fest?
Fest? Oh, yeah. Everybody's heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so sure. Everybody's heard of that.
So he, you know, he's not even sure whether or not we're going to be able to, you know, whether or not there's going to be a show this year.
They probably got plugged more on now from you mentioning it than they had all last year.
Fest? Oh, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
What do you guys feel about the drive-through concert? Not a drive, or the drive-up concert where you drive and park and sit there in your car and the band's on stage.
It's interesting.
I don't want to do that.
Is it better than...
What if you go to the show and you're like, you want to meet a girl or something? You're in your car.
You're driving in your car.
Well, think about the positives, Feeney. If you felt like whacking off, you could.
That's always a positive, no matter where you are.
Are you positive?
Or what about dating? Now, say Disco's out this weekend. He wants to meet a young lady, but everyone has a mask on.
Is Disco not involved with anyone?
I don't believe so.
I've been on the fence.
Disco's never involved with anyone. I think he's asexual.
Should I go on Tinder now?
I think he likes
to. Is now a good time to go on Tinder, like Bumble or whatever?
It's working for some people I know for sure. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Raven, what do you suggest? Hey, wait a minute. There's Gabriel. I see him. Call him over. He was right.
He was just under the desk. I was petting him.
Oh yeah, I just saw his head. There he is.
So now your friends. You just said this last week. So your friends are going on dates though.
Yeah,
like they're actually meeting up.
You know, not dates, but like, hey, come over.
Doing booty calls.
Yes. Yeah.
So people aren't so scared in Pennsylvania then.
No, or Delaware.
Or Delaware. I went to the University of Delaware.
Did you?
Yes. Great school. My dad goes, this school is perfect for you. It's got 5 stars academics, 5 stars partying.
Absolutely.
Yep. Where is that? Is it Dover? Wilmington?
Wilmington. No, it's not in Newark. Newark, Delaware. My dog's playing with his squeaky toy. Can you hear
it? Yeah, I hear him. Is he trying to hustle you for treats again?
He's trying to hustle me for something. He's supposed to be executive producing the show, but he's
slacking off.
He's f***ing about.
Should I go back? Should I go on Tinder now?
Yes,
should I go on there?
Absolutely.
Yes? Is that a yes?
Which one's a date?
I think you should go on Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish, huh? Okay.
P-O.
Why that?
I don't know, because I like the name. Although it is kind of crass if you think about it.
Plenty of Fish, yeah. Yep.
Which one's the one that's more that's just straight up for sex? Is that Tinder?
It's more Tinder.
Is it?
And then Bumble's more like the Bumble. You can, if you're a guy, the woman has to make the first move, and then there's Hinge, which I don't know if a lot of people are using, but Hinge is interesting because you can just comment on other people's stuff.
Yeah,
if they want to talk to you, they talk.
But if you leave there, then you become unhinged.
You do. You do. That's me.
Would you quit chuckling and away from the camera, Feeney?
Yeah,
you can hear me.
Into the camera.
You can hear me.
I mean into the microphone. God damn it.
I'm sorry.
All right, so let's get to the new fan mail.
Fan mail?
To the fanny mail. We have plenty of fanny mail. It's all filled back up. We have more fanny mail than you could shake a stick at. That's a lot of fanny mail. Let's see now. Here we go. I haven't pre-read most of these, so let's see how many we have. I'll tell you how many we have, first of all. We have 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. Yeah, 25 or so. And I've only pre-read like half. So let's see. Here we go. This is from Jim Carter. It says, Dear Raven, in one of your recent shows, you guys brought up a threesome. Then Rich and Joe started breaking down a threesome like a wrestling match. But, .. Oh, not butt like as in a sexy butt. Just butt as in, Jim Cornette has a funny saying about threesomes. Wrestling and sex are similar. No one gets over in a threesome in wrestling or sex. Your thoughts, gentlemen? President Carter. Oh, it is Jimmy Carter, the president. Wow, I didn't know. You know, he was a playboy, and he talked about sinning, like sex is sinning or something, in 76 or some shit.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter, huh?
Yeah.
Jimmy
Carter. I want to call him Jimmy Carter.
I'm surprised that he was able to take some time off from building all those houses to send you that email.
Well, anyway, I think that's a stupid saying, because in a three-way match at wrestling, you can get over. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you get over? Mm-hmm. And in sex, threesomes are great, especially if you're the odd male and the two female one.
Right.
And even if it's two males and one female, you're still getting a nut. So, I mean, how does it not get over? I don't understand that quote at all.
And in that situation, the female's getting over, too, because she's getting double the attention. So
that's
right.
There you go.
And in a three-way match, somebody always gets thrown over the top rope, so somebody's going over.
True.
All right. So we have debated that, and we rule that busted. That myth is busted. Let's see what else. Jimmy Carter, follow-up recommendations for movies. Spaceballs, Dragnet starring Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd, and The Burbs starring Tom Hanks. Now I'm going to comment first and say The Burbs was fucking awful. Horrible.
Didn't that have like a gorilla or something in it, The Burbs?
If it had a gorilla, it would have been better.
Wasn't there some creature in the Burbs, or am I thinking of some weird movie that had like a Sasquatch or something in it?
No, you're thinking of Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh.
Anyway, Dragnet was amazing, and so was Spaceballs. Spaceballs was the last good movie by Mel Brooks.
You think so?
What did he make better good after it?
Mm. What about Robin Hood Men in Tights?
That was exactly. All right.
That's my point entirely.
Dracula Dead and Loving It?
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was Leslie Nielsen, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't he in that?
But it was a Mel Brooks. Yeah, and then there was
It was amazing. Like, he had the producers, the 12 chairs, which I never seen either one of them. Then he had Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, High Anxiety, Spaceballs. And Spaceballs showed a decline compared to the other ones. And then he just hit rock bottom. And he had To Have and to Hold and some other one, and they were terrible.
What about
it's really sad.
What about Life Stinks?
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. Yeah, it's terrible.
I never even heard of that.
He acts in it as well, directs and acts.
He acts in most of them.
Yeah, but
he's Hank Scorpio, right?
Who's Hank Scorpio?
Yeah, that's Albert. That's Albert Brooks.
Oh, that's Albert Brooks. Yeah, yeah. Never mind. Sorry.
But Dragnet was amazing. That was one of Dan Aykroyd's finest performances.
What year did that come out?
19 something.
1988,
87. I'm gonna have to say I'm not positive. Let's see. This is My Long Johnson, quote of the day revived. Dear Lord Raven, King 3RD, and Mall Kiosk Solar Panel Salesman Rich. I got cast as a lead role in a dramatic retelling of Schindler's List, but got fired the first day for asking, which of these ladies is my fluffer? Mic drop.
Wow. Yeah, that's not cool, man. That's a little off. Next email.
Why?
We're safe because you're Jewish, so, like, you know what I mean? Nobody can claim anti-Semitism here, but I don't like jokes about that shit.
But Schindler's List having a fluffer?
Anything Holocaust related, I don't know about you guys. I'm not comfortable with jokes about that stuff, but.
Well, you know, I should have seen the Holocaust of the budget.
Ah! Oh!
Holy
and
cost.
It says, My Long Soapy Johnson, sent from my LAPD issued parolee iPhone. Note, all communications can and will be used against you in the case that a parole violation is admitted to. And then he has a GIF with it of Hulk Hogan wearing a Mean Gene O'Mania t-shirt that it was homemade with the sleeves cut off and doing a mic drop. So all I give that one a D+. Shooter McWorkin, Return of Sodomy and Blasphemy. Well, that seemed like a good buddy cop movie.
Yeah, this has potential for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Dear Scotty Doesn't Know, Picture Taker, Undertaker's Cousins, Second Uncle Twice Removed Dad, and Social Distancing Ass Play. This is a long one, so I got to move the screen. I have been taken out of action a while as I have a fissure in my colon. I have no idea what could have caused that. That he has an emoji with his hand on his chin like he's contemplating.
Or was it the
crushing defeat from Feeney of the Wrestler Name Game or both? The world may never know. I did decide to use Jump Kick to fund my new colon. I raised $5. Fuck, I really need a new colon. I quite enjoyed the Firefly Funhouse match during Mania. It was good shit, and the Boneyard match. Ugh. Firefly's Funhouse was terrible. I believe they may have been looking through old TNA tapes and stole Raven Clockwork Orange House of Fun match, or accidentally saw it on YouTube during quarantine. They then proceeded to say, this is the worst pile of crap I ever saw. How can we keep it? Because we are the king of crap, would go in the opposite direction, and Fireplace Funhouse and a pole match was born. This is all written like a month ago, and I just recovered from my colon replacement surgery. Stop asking stupid effing questions, Rich. Busby, you shut the hell up. You too, and you too, you anti-Semitic prick. Hold on.
Heard they replaced his colon with a semicolon.
Yes, they did. And a hominin.
Whoever this fella is here, never mind. I was going to say, shove it up your ass.
It's Shooter McWorkin.
Shooter McWorkin, shove it up your ass. Your new colon. Go fuck yourself.
Sorry. Shooter McWankin would be a better name.
Yeah.
and spelled C-H-U-T-E-R, shooter. condoms and porn was asked previously. Yes, condoms. Wicked Pictures does use condoms while having sex, but then the condom disappears from the cum shot. Raven keeps mentioning double penetration. He should probably ask Dallas, his yoga may have some. This is terrible. let's see. The shooter make a send for my alien space phone. If Rich is dead, I apologize. PP fucking S. Raven, Bully Ray mentioned you on Busted Open. Seth Rollins' new look is turning into a 95 ECW version of you. I would like to see you do Busted Open. Make them pay you the normal rate of a dog. Do the thing that. All right, terrible letter. I give that one a. I don't even give that a letter. I don't even give that a rating. That was terrible. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
No high spots in the colon surgery.
No, you can do. You can do better than that, there, shooter.
Yeah, maybe he can't. That's the sad thing. Yeah. I can't get this to delete.
That's just going to live there.
It is. You know, speaking, okay, I have a couple, Feeney, I don't know if you know, I have a couple files on my laptop. I have a folder that literally will not delete. There, it's referencing something, and it says it's open somewhere and nothing. Any ideas? Any computer experts out there?
Call the Hardy Boys and delete-a.
All right, thank you.
No, I have no.
Okay.
This is the subject's a bar story from Adrian Garza.
Yes.
Dark greetings, Raven and the Mighty Moes. Here's a quick story that Raven can provide voices for. Went to a bar to meet a girl I met online. She and her band were practicing picking locks. Fun bunch. A friend and I go to the bar to order shots. I asked the very Irish bartender if he has any drink specials. He yells Irishly, "You can ask a crap for $3 or not crap for $5. I said, $4, not crap, please. The chick was a trip. We left and went to an even sitter bar to sniff out some blow. My friend bought $20 of Colorado, which he thought it was because of the Rocky Mountains. Fucking hell. Cheers, fuckers. This is why I pre-screened the call. That is terrible.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, that's two duds right in a row, man. What the hell's going on?
That's why I've been screening them lately.
Yeah.
Is Colorado code for cocaine?
Yeah, that's a new one on me. I would think that'd be weed, wouldn't it?
Colorado, the Rocky Mountain. Maybe it's crack.
Maybe it's a pair of tits. The Rocky Mountains. Maybe it has something to do with Rocky Balboa climbing a mountain of cocaine.
In Philadelphia.
Yes. Bullwinkle and Rocky starring Bullwinkle J. Moose and Rocky Balboa. It was a good show. Oh, I watched that last night. The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
How was that?
It was actually really good. I've seen it before. It was so ridiculous. It was with Robert De Niro.
Ah. Oh, no.
What do you mean, Uno? It was one of his finest performances.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that?
He looked just like the fearless leader.
Nah, man. I think De Niro's Most finest good. Performance is The Intern.
Ooh.
What's that?
Oh, no. I'm obviously kidding. No, it was with Anne Hathaway. Is that enjoyable? But because of Anne Hathaway. But no, I'm.
No, but I'm telling you, Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle was on all. He was hitting on all cylinders, and Rocky was played by the same person who did Rocky's. The same Rocky was actually done by a woman, the voice, and she did the voice. The original lady did the voice. That's nice,
huh?
Especially because the show came out in '64, and the movie came out in like '98, '99.
I remember the cartoon. It would show up. It wasn't on all the time as a kid, but every now and then, Rocky and Bullwinkle would show up, and it was oh.
It was written for adults because the guy got blacklisted, so
oh,
he
really?
Decided to make a subversive cartoon, and he wrote all the jokes. That's why there's so many jokes in there that adults get.
Hmm. Yeah. I was gonna say the movie never really was on my radar because I never watched the cartoon, so it was just like.
Well, you should watch the movie.
Now that you're describing it, the cartoon sounds interesting too.
Yeah, yep. George Costanza was in it. Rene Russo was in it.
Yeah,
Rene Russo, George Costanza, Robert De Niro, the chick from Coyote Ugly, Piper Perabo, and Bullwinkle Moose. Bullwinkle J. Moose. How about the fact that it's Bullwinkle J. Moose and Rocky J. Squirrel, and the guy who created him, his name is J. Ward.
Interesting. I would think that J would be for Jesus.
I would think the J would be for Schindler's List.
Rock, love a guy. Rocky Jesus Bowling.
Call back.
Yeah. Call back.
No. All right, so this is from Adam Krapinski. There's no subject matter.
Huh.
Good morning or probably afternoon, whenever Raven decided to wake up. Let's play some F, Marry, Kill. Raven, Your choice is Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, and Busby. Let's see. Can I marry all three? Can I marry Bob? I'll marry Busby. I'll kill Dreamer.
Of course.
And I'll fuck Paul Heyman.
There you go.
All right. You don't want to marry all three? Some type of weird polygamy thing?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Polygamy's coming back in style now. Apparently, polygamy's legal in Utah.
Yeah.
Well, they're making it legal so they can bust people for abuse because people are too scared to claim abuse in their relationships because they're afraid then they'll get punished for being in polygamy. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Rich, your choices are Jim Ross, Michael Cole, and Kevin Kelly.
Ooh. Oh boy.
Just make a guess. We don't have all night.
Well,
I guess we do have all night, actually.
Cole, Ross, and Kelly? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yep.
Kevin Kelly, boy. Not Kelly Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
All right, we'll skip it. We'll come back to you. Feeny, yours are Conan, Disco, and Shane Helms.
Not so easy, Feeny, is it?
Kill Disco.
That goes without saying.
Kill Disco, marry Shane Helms, and F Conan, prison style.
Ooh.
How about can I jump back in here? I'm going to say fuck Michael Cole because he's still over there. But no, that would be kill him. Fuck him. You know what I mean? I would probably fuck Kevin Kelly so I could get a job in Japan. And then I'd marry Jim Ross.
Wait. How do you know your fucking would get you a job? It may not get you a job.
I'm assuming it would.
Oh, you're assuming you're a good lay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on, fan number 26.
Thank you, fan 26. Very, very kind of you.
This is James Southard from Callbacks from the Callback episode. Greetings, Matt Man, Joey Polo, and the Rich Flamingo. I never played Matt Man. When hearing the blog, I mentioned in the old video blogs and the podcast, I perked up like heads in a locker room when a pill bottle is shaken. That's pretty good.
Perked up.
Yeah. I didn't even catch that. I was too busy when a pill bottle is shaken, not stirred. Pill bottle is shaken, not stirred. One jingle popped in my mind. The video blog. It's the video blog with Raven, Jazz Hands for the Patreon viewers. That jingle should be brought back for the video feed. It's the video feed on Patreon. I would also like to congratulate Gabriel on Nine Great as an executive producer of Fine Audio and Video Feed. Nine great years. Keep up the wizard. Ooh, that's Carney. I wonder what that means. The kid who wrote into the P.O. box instead of mailing gifts is requested in the video blogs. P.S. Ken Mantell is still an underrated booker. P.P.S. Shirt sleeves do make great beanies. They do. Shirt sleeves make great beanies.
And masks, too.
Oh, yeah. P-P-P-P-S. Hopefully it's not a sad day in Mudville. Oh, that's another line of mine. P-P-P-P-P-S. This is just a sad attempt to shoehorn as many callbacks to the old video blog as I can recall off the top of my head. Callback counter. 6 callbacks. Ah, pretty good. They were all to the video. You know what the video blogs I used to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you familiar with them, Rich? I don't know where Rich went. Rich is muted.
Yes, I do. I do remember this. Sorry.
They were legendary in the sense that that nobody heard of them.
I've heard of them.
Then apparently they're not legendary. They're more like heard of. All right, this is Pretentious Transparency from Huddy Hood. The following message is sensitive and should be read with a comical voice, preferably the voice of Popeye or Foghorn Leghorn.
Do Foghorn.
Not even. I was just a wee lad when I fell in love with my special attractions. I have always loved spectacles. And I guess I always will. There is a time the world championship wrestling had a partnership, if you will, with NASCAR. Now this leads me to my... And this leads me to my question, Raven. Do you have any stories from attending any NASCAR events? There were some radical collectibles for the Raven brand. Now, even though I have a lot more questions, I will change the subject. There's a scene in the movie Casino where the character played by Joe Pesci beats up the old cowboy. That's kind of how I feel when people talk smack towards Rich. As for JF3, the masses are and should be forever grateful. I said, boy. Quote of the day, everything in life is irony except the comedy. Sent from an unknown device deep beneath the Earth's crust, somewhere east of the Rockies. I said, boy.
East of the Rockies, you're on.
It made the letter a little better, but not a whole lot. We got some bad letters, lettering. Do I have any stories from any NASCAR events? I've never attended a NASCAR event. So there.
Nor have I. Feeney,
no,
you ever
no,
go?
No, but I've heard that it is a good time. It's a fine party, but I've never been.
My favorite part of the NASCAR races is when they make the left turn.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I've been to some dirt track races, like the white track.
Indy League wrestling race car?
Pretty much, yeah.
Same thing, Feeney. I went to, I think it's an 8 mile track in Seekonk, Massachusetts. They're, I don't know what level car it is. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go see Formula One, though. I think Formula One's pretty bad.
Oh, I did. I've seen a Formula One race in West Palm Beach.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I don't know. You can't see it except right in front of you. It's terrible, really. We just went there to hang out and pick up chicks.
How loud is it?
Loud.
Those cars, I'd imagine, it's like jets going by, right?
No, when they go by, I don't remember it being that loud, but they go by like every. They go by. They go by every hour in the hour. they got to drive all around the city to come back to where you were.
Yeah, but they go like 200 miles an hour.
I don't know. Maybe not.
I remember, you may remember this, like you're my age, growing up in, I think it was Sunday mornings, Formula One would always be on ESPN. And do you remember Jackie Stewart? Remember the announcer?
Jackie Stewart here for the Grand Prix in Monaco.
Nelson Fittipaldi is bursting the flames.
You see, Jackie Stewart did a Heineken commercial. He got back in the game.
Did he really?
Yeah, just recently. All right,
he's
from
alive? Jackie Stewart's still alive?
I didn't even know he was sick. Subject.
There's no way he's still alive, is there?
Yeah, he's still alive.
He's 80 years old. Yeah, good. Sorry. Nice.
Subject, another treasure. Thoughts, John C. from John C. Hey, Raven, Feeney, Buccini, and whoever has this huge zucchini. So you brought us discussions on Oak Island, and it's a mystery treasure, but I have a question for you. Do you know about and what are your thoughts on the Beale treasure and the ciphers? Speaking of ciphers, that reminds me I have to siphon some gas. Toodles. Jester. redeeming email. The Beale treasure and the ciphers, that's the one with the guy. Which one's the Beale one? Is that the guy when you have to put your hip toss the guy out of the corner?
Damn it. I was going to say that.
I know you were. I saw your – that's why I kept stumbling and humbling and hawing, hemming and hawing until I could get it out because I knew you were on the track. Samuel Beale, I think, invented the Beale. Adam Krapinski with another one, no subject. Hey, Raven and the other two also, I guess. When Beulah announced that she was pregnant, why did you go straight for Stevie Richards? Did you really think he could get Beulah? Then again, she said it was Tommy's. Now that I think about it, Beulah had some low standards.
That was a great moment, though, when you immediately reach for Stevie and start hitting him. Like, that's immediately your suspicion.
Yeah. And then when she goes, it's not Stevie. And the audience starts going, meanie, meanie.
Right.
That's awesome.
By the way, a quick plug for the Blue Meanie. You know, he has joined us here on MLW Radio.
Oh, yeah. It's the Mind of the Meanie?
The Mind of the Meanie, yep. Yeah. Check it out.
Okay.
There you go.
What about Mike Durbano?
He's on the Creative Control Network.
Isn't that what you said? Oh, MLW. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Meanie's on MLW, yeah.
Okay, so Beulah had some low standards. Keep it going for as long as you stay awake. Thank you. All right, last fan mail, and then we have to go. Time's a waste in Snuffy Smith. Wheelchair, It's True by Joe Atherton. Dear Raven, the Prince of Pogs, and also Handsome JoJo. Ooh, got a crush on you.
Oh, come on.
Last week, or whenever this gets read, I seem to have dropped somewhat of a bombshell on Raven, be divulging I am, in fact, in a wheelchair. I thought the title of my hit YouTube channel, Tables, Athers, and Chairs, a cunning play on words on a wrestling stipulation, my name and my preferred mode of transportation would have given the game away, but apparently not. I shall now take this opportunity to answer a few frequently asked questions on my disability. One, I wasn't born in a wheelchair. I'm not a cyborg. Plus, it would have destroyed my mom's vagina. Athos writes the best letters. Two, I've never ran away from a fight in my life. This three, despite being hilarious, I've only tried stand up once. I fell over. Never again.
Oh, man.
Four, my parents nicknamed me Spider-Man. Nothing to do with superpowers or a love for the Marvel web slinger. I just really struggle getting out of the bath.
Okay.
Spider-Man. I really struggle getting out the bath.
I don't know.
Three for four. Number five. I think my penis works. I mean, it did, but I'm married and it's been a while. Three and a half out of five. You should have cut off after number three. Sorry for my deception. I thought having a hand like the butler in Scary Movie 2 would have been a giveaway. Still, I don't remember Scary Movie 2 plot. Damn. Still want to fight that schmuck Husey? Ooh, when lockdown is over, I'm drive-bying his ass. He can drive-by because he's in a wheelchair.
Hell, he's going to Belfast?
You going to Belfast? I don't know. He's not on the I can't talk to him personally. Well, I'll ask him. Athers, you going to Belfast? Is that where Husey lives?
Mm-hmm.
The
mean streets of Belfast.
Actually, those are the mean streets. Athers, a fine letter. I give you a C minus.
Wow. It's the highest mark today, I think, isn't it?
Yes. And then this last letter from Adam Hughes. Subject name puns. Wouldn't it be funny if Rich had financial problems?
No, it would not be.
That's not.
Fuck you.
Because if you're rich, yeah, it's a name pun.
Oh, yeah, you're a fucking comedian. Fuck you.
Then you'd be poor Bocchini. Yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if Raven actually went Raven? Wouldn't it be funny if Joe Feeney was brutally ass-raped in prison? Well, I guess I had to be there at the time. Joe, plug my stuff in your raped arse, for goodness sakes.
You can listen to It's Husey Hello on iTunes and Spreaker and catch all kinds of humor just like that.
For goodness sakes. All right. One last letter I forgot to read. This is from subjects Justin Trudeau, COVID-19, Air Transat pressure for Canadian returns from foreign countries, from Segieth Jonathan. Bonjour, je viens de signer la petition Justin Trudeau, Air Transat pressure for Canadian returns from foreign countries, et je... So, savoir si vous voudriez nous aider ajoutant votre signature. Ooh, la la. Notre objectif est d'entendre 100 signatures et nous avons besoin de plus de soutiens pour en savoir plus et pour signer ces.
Is that French? Is this French?
Merci, Jonathan. It kept slipping into Spanish. I thought that was a good letter. I give that one an A.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
Okay, that's it for today's mail. All right, so now that we know where we are, remember, as Buckaroo Banzai said, wherever you go, there you are. Go to cameo.com, and I will make video messages. I've been doing a lot of those lately. So keep them coming because they pay me. And I like money. Money is my friend. Money is most people's friends.
Yeah.
That's like Ross and Joey and Chandler and money. And the girls, too. Don't forget the girls. Twitter and Facebook is The Raven Effect. The website's theraveneffect.com. Fan mail is fanmail@theraveneffect.com. We need funnier fan mail. So please send in your funny fan mail. Because otherwise, we have to actually make up stuff to talk about. And it's much easier to just talk about stuff that you wrote in.
Right.
And, you know, short and sweet gets read. And long and winded gets read, too. Let's face it, it gets read, too. Dixon Hotline, 800-662-4357. DixonandRecovery.org. If you need information on addiction and recovery or orgs. What's an org anyway? I guess that's short for an organ.
Organization.
Yeah, so addictionandrecovery.organ. Organ. But if you fail to get a hold of it, it's an organ failure.
Good Lord.
Org. I think it should be Orc. The Orcs should have their own. They should have the Orcs, like to Kill a King. No, to Kill a Mockingbird. No, that's not it. Lord of the King Ring. Lord of the King of the Ring. No, that's not it. Whatever. The Orcs.
King of Swing.
Oh, did the you Mork, say Bjork? Mork, Mork from Ork.
I thought you said Bjork.
Bjork from Ork. Mm. I wonder if Bjork and Mork are related.
They might be. They very well may be.
Subscribe to MLW or Apple Podcasts. Leave 5-star reviews, complimentary comments. Oh, Feeney, would you one of these days remember to read the reviews? We get good reviews.
Yes.
Make a note of that. Have somebody remember that. We have no advertising today?
Not today, no.
Boo!
Ooh.
You suck, Feeney.
Thumbs down.
We have a potential guest next week, even though we don't do guests. If we do decide to have him, he's going to be one crazy dude. The guy, how many times did he OD?
What was that? Over a dozen, but there was 24 car crashes. Let's not
24 car crashes. Yeah, so we're going to have to talk to this feller.
Yeah,
he has
time
for the wrestling business.
I'm interested now. This is how many car crashes? What?
24.
ODs and car crashes? That sounds fascinating.
Yes. I don't know. I'm wondering if any of the ODs occurred during the car crashes.
Or may have. Them.
Yeah.
Or the car crashes caused the OD. Or whatever. You can find Joseph Feeney at JF Feeney 3RD at the Creative Control Network with Mike Durbano, who's the executive producer of all their shows and content. And Husey Said Hello, and Road Warrior Animal, and Shane Iron Man Helms.
There may be a new show coming, and while I can't divulge who's going to be hosting the show, I'll just say he's quite a taskmaster. Huh?
Oh! Oh, well.
We'll see what's going on there. It's a possibility. The ink isn't dry, but we'll see.
Well, then get a better pen. Rich Boccini can be found at Rich There's a how many C's and H's are there?
Two C's, one H.
Rich Boccini, and he'll be TCBY taking care of business
every day.
And he'll be at Defy Wrestling. Some point in his life.
Eventually, yeah. They just canceled the June show, unfortunately.
Yeah, June's a good person.
Yeah, yep.
Wasn't June Beaver Cleaver's mom's name?
Yep, June Cleaver.
Indeed.
There's a topical reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Eddie Haskell just died.
He did.
I didn't know he was sick. It's always a classic.
Absolutely.
One of my fun memories, real quick, of Eddie Haskell is when he was one of the judges at the first Clash of the Champions. Do you remember that?
No.
It was Sting against. Yeah. I think it was Sting against Flair, first Clash of the Champions, and it was
That's
Eddie
the
Haskell.
Biggest celebrity they could get.
Dude, legitimately, it was Eddie Haskell, a penthouse pet. I don't remember who it was. Sandy Scott. Gary Juster and like somebody else.
Wow.
It was like the weird, and supposedly they were going to judge the match, and then the match ended and they never went to the judges. It was stupid.
Hmm.
But that was when TBS, I don't know if they were trying didn't they do a new edition of Leave It to Beaver? They did something with Eddie Haskell. They were doing some show of
vehicle
for him.
Oh, you mean new edition did a little Leave It to Beaver with Belle Biv DeVoe?
They did, yeah. Yeah. Some nice harmonizing.
Mm.
Yes.
Should have heard the ring announcements.
Was it Boys to Men or New Edition?
Same thing.
Oh,
boy to Men, New Edition.
All those boy band groups are all the same.
What about the NAMBLA theme song, Men to Boys?
Ooh, yeah. Hey, you remember, I want to mention this. You just brought it up. I showed you some Mr. Show stuff before. If you want to get a chuckle,
no,
go on YouTube and put in Mr. Show NAMBLA, We're Not Killers. Pretty good stuff.
Oh, so they're saying that we may touch little boys, but at least we're not killers.
Could be worse.
They did a spoof of the advertising. It was like the advertising awards and the advertising agency that was hired to do the ad for NAMBLA. They're trying to change their image. And the guy's up on stage. He's like, oh, yeah, this is my baby. Like people are booing him and chasing him with torches and stuff.
Was the advertising that, hey, we may touch little boys, but at least we're not killers.
That was the whole thing. NAMBLA, we're not killers.
Could be worse.
Could be raining. Time's
yeah.
Tough.
Oh boy.
All right. Do you have any recommendations?
Go on. If you have Pluto TV, this is interesting. I just found this out. Pluto TV.
What is Pluto TV?
It's like a streaming thing, free streaming thing.
Where it's a real dog.
My understanding is that beIN Sports now has a channel on there, beIN Sports Extra. So I'm assuming that MLW will be shown on there. So that's someplace that you could check that out. Also, I just found this out. beIN Sports Extra is apparently over the air in like Dallas, Houston, I think Philly.
It's over the air.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah.
In other words, it's a digital channel. Like you just plug in your antenna and it's like 51.2 or whatever.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Wait, so there's people that don't have cable?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
And then they have satellite.
No satellite. It's just if you just have a TV.
They just have an antenna?
Yeah, you just plug in your digital antenna or whatever, and there are a number of cities that you can get beIN Sports Extra. So in theory,
what else can you get on the over the digital TV? What else can you get?
3, 6, and 10.
No. Oh, all right. So for instance, in Gainesville, Florida, I don't have a plethora of channels. But in Houston, for instance, we had something like 30 or 40 channels just over the air. So it's like, all right, in Gainesville, channel 20 has a number of subchannels. So there's 20, 20.1, 20.2, et cetera. And so, for example, on 20.5, it's the Justice Network, which shows like reruns of Cops and all sorts of stuff like that.
Which one
they
has
have MeTV? They have a CW. There's Ion TV.
Country and Western Channel.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure they do. Somewhere.
Which one has the dirty movies?
I don't think there was a over the air. That's what the interwebs for. So anyway, check out Pluto TV and beIN Sports Extra.
What's Pluto TV?
It's legitimately it looks like a cable thing, and they have a number of channels on there, and there's just like live streaming stuff or bit like they have a Cops channel, they have a Forensic Files channel, they have a Cold Case Files channel. You know what I mean? All sorts of cool stuff.
But no, I don't know what you mean.
I urge you to check it out because I don't know else how to explain it. It's basically like cable, but it's not.
Yeah. I have the urge to go to the bathroom.
Hmm. Is it number one or number two?
Number three.
Yeah, it's
so both
could be a combo.
Basically, whenever I go number two, I always go number one as well. There's never been a time, I don't think I've ever gone number two and not gone number one within 3 minutes, front or back.
Plus, it saves time. You just knock them
out. It saves a lot of time.
Yeah, for real.
Feeny, what do you got for us?
You mentioned Robert De Niro earlier, and I'd like to recommend a little-known Robert De Niro film from just a few years ago called Being Flynn. True story about the writer Nick Flynn and his dad, who he met for the first time when he was like 18, and the guy was homeless and all this, and it sounds pretty uplifting, right? But it's De Niro's like most recent great performance, I think. So
I don't know. I loved him in Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. thought he should have won an Oscar for it.
Oh boy,
Oscar J. Bullwinkle Moose.
Yes.
So that would be going to recommend Adventures of Bullwinkle J. Moose, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. The wordplay is off the charts brilliant, especially, and Bullwinkle has the best delivery of any comedian ever. Amazing delivery. Great timing. Total professional. Times are tough. Call back. All right. Peace, love, and Rocky and Bullwinkle soar the highways and skyways again. And Boris Badenoff and Natasha and fearless leader. He goes, if you kill Moose and Squirrel, you get French benefit. He goes, what is French benefit? He goes, French benefit is you don't get killed. That's a classic. All right, quote the Raven, nevermore, the end, go to bed.